This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. A few months ago, a study was released that diet soda is considered bad for you. In August, a New York scientist, James DeNicolantonio, says in his book, The Salt Fix, we should have more salt, not less. So what once was good now is bad, and what once was bad is now good? All of this is so confusing, so I had to go and get answers from nutritional physiologist Rick Hay. Thanks for joining me, Rick.
Lovely to be here. Thank you.
Tell me, why do you call yourself the superfoodist? I thought that was pretty interesting.
I've worked with nutrition and natural medicine for over 20 years now, and I've always formulated foods using botanical medicine. And it's only recently that the term superfood came around. And since I've worked with them and formulated them and lectured in them for so long, I work a lot with superfoods. And then they've been my baby for a couple of decades. So that's where the name came from, yeah.
I'm hoping you can help me out here because I've been reading so many articles about supplements and about how supplements can be good for you and they could be bad for you. What is your stance on it?
Well, you know, I get asked that question a lot, actually. You know, there are certain vitamins that we tend to be deficient in, certain vitamins and minerals. For example, magnesium and iron and vitamin D. So I do recommend people take those supplements, you know, to supplement their diet to get their levels up. But then again, you have the other end of the spectrum where you might have some heavily caffeinated energy supplements that really aren't going to do you much good at all, probably put too much strain on the nervous system, on the adrenals, and may make you feel worse long term. So it really does depend on, you know, the quality of the vitamin and the your current state of health as to what you might need.
I've been reading articles about how salt is supposed to be good for you in certain increments, and not just salt, it's also fish oil. I was reading that fish oil is a really great supplement to take, but if you overtake it, there's a higher chance for you to get prostate cancer. And I just thought, like, man, is there any point, like a mediation for these type of supplements?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, it does get confusing out there in the world of supplementation, but you are right. Things like the omega-3s from fish oil are very beneficial to our body. The problem is sometimes what we do is we think because something's good, we won't just take 1,000 or 2,000 milligrams of it per day. We'll go and take 5 or 6. Now, that then might place extra pressure on the liver, for example. It might place extra pressure on other body systems, as you alluded to. So I would say always take stuff according to dose. When you're also thinking about things like salt, certainly, you know, table salt isn't that great for us, and it often has a lot of aluminium in it for a free-flowing agent to keep things moving. But things like rock salt and sea salt and Himalayan pink salt can be very good for us, giving us some much-needed minerals, especially if we're exercising.
Another thing that I was reading that is supposed to be bad for you, but for years they said, oh, you can drink as much as you want, is diet soda. Especially for those who are diabetic, it's almost like that's your go-to drink. And I was reading in this article that it's actually better to drink regular pop than it is to drink soda pop. Do you know why that is?
The body recognizes sugar for what it is. I mean, we do have a problem with people having too much sugar, both in the US and here in the UK. But the thing with it is, you know, I advise my clients to always, if they want to have a soft drink, that they have, you know, a regular one. The thing with the diet soft drinks is that often they have a lot of artificial sweeteners in them. And when you consume, you know, significant amounts of these, they can have a negative impact on the body. And also with some of them, they haven't been around long enough for us to know exactly what they may do long term. So I'm sort of more of a fan of doing stuff as naturally as you can. And, you know, a little bit of sugar here and there for me is preferable to something that's artificial. The other thing on the, you know, the whole diet soda thing is that often if the body is tasting something sweet, it presumes there's going to be calories there. So there's a little bit of research out there that if you're having you know, a diet soft drink or a diet soda, and it it doesn't come with the calories. The body may make you hungrier later. So the thing that you're trying to do, which is diet, might be undone by that mechanism itself. So I know it's complicated, but really, you know, follow that philosophy of nature knows best. Sugar may be a better way to go.
How come there are all these studies out there that are like, oh, you know, all this stuff you thought was good, it's now bad? You know, where, how did these things just prompt up? I mean, it can't just be that all of a sudden people realize that diet pop is bad.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, it's really hard, you know, because I lecture in nutrition, have done for many years, and some of the things I used to lecture in several years ago, I probably wouldn't recommend now with new research. I think you do need to be a little bit careful about the research that you are reading, because sometimes the research can be funded by a company that has a vested interest in the outcome of the research. So whilst that makes sort of research a bit of a minefield, if you have a look about who sponsored it and who's, you know, put up the money behind it. And also there's sort of different studies out there in terms of maybe the size of the study, the length of the study, how the study was conducted. So I know it is difficult for the layperson, and you know, a lot of the times, unfortunately, it is because of market forces, and there might be some research done, and the outcome may not be, you know, as honest as we would want it to be. I suppose what I would say to everybody is that if you look at your diet and you look at supplements and you make sure you take things that are as close to nature as possible, and you avoid too many processed foods, and you don't get too stressed out about diet, that's a good start, because otherwise you can spend your whole life, as you're saying, one minute you think one thing's healthy for you, and the next minute you're told it's not. So perhaps just have everything, you know, in moderation, and don't overdo any one thing, and that way you're going to safeguard yourself, I think, in the best way possible.
I'm glad you talked about the study and research portion, because when I study about diets and I try to research them, I end up finding so many different diets. There's paleo, the zone diet, Atkins, you know, all these like new age celebrity diets. And I don't even know where to start with. But when it comes to these diets, how do they start? I mean, or have they been around for so long that they're not new anymore, just to me?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are so many of them. And the problem with some of the fad diets, or most of the fad diets, is they might give you results short-term, but they certainly won't in the long-term. I think, again, sometimes they're driven by marketing and good PR and publicity. But in the long run, when you're looking at all those different diets, I think the thing that you want to do with your eating pattern is to, you know, and this sounds really boring, I'm sorry to sound so dull, but the best thing to do is just to eat healthily, you know, 80% of the time, and have your treats, and, you know, enjoy your life as well, because otherwise if you become too fixated on these diets, food becomes sort of like an enemy. And I'm even going to say as much as the whole clean eating, you know, trend at the moment, where people are cutting out, you know, so much from their diet, and the whole craze on social media just for clean food. Whilst it could be good in the short term, long term it may be not that great. I suppose the one big tip that I give is just, you know, if you're going to cut down anything, do cut down your intake of meat and maybe animal products. It doesn't mean you have to become vegetarian or vegan, but having a few meat-free days, I think would be a good thing for the body in terms of cleansing and digestion and helping with alkalization as well.
There's one particular diet that I've just noticed. It's called keto or keto. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it's a high-fat diet with low carbs. That's insane. And you're supposed to drink like coconut oil. You've heard of that, right?
Yeah. What it's doing is trying to put the body in a state of ketosis, which is a fat-burning state. However, the body isn't designed to be in a state of ketosis all the time. And that was really, you might remember a while ago, there was sort of, well, a long time ago actually, you know, in the 70s and that, there was like the Dukan diet and other diets that were very, very high in animal meat and animal proteins. And when you look down the track, those diets that were promoting ketosis turned out to be really tough on the heart and really tough on the kidneys as well. So, and when you look at some of the founders of these diets and you look at and, you know, sadly, you look at their cause of death, it often is, you know, a cardiovascular occurrence, and one has to wonder whether those diets are that good. I don't like anything that's extreme. You know, I go with the keto diet. I think as well, you kind of have to, you know, monitor your body state of ketosis all the time, and it just keeps you worrying about food and creates food as an enemy. I would much rather that somebody just sort of listen to their body and you know, listen to their cravings and try to keep all things moderate without getting too extreme.
For somebody who's looking at these type of diets and even looking at the supplements and they're getting confused, would you recommend that they go to a doctor or, you know, somebody, a professional at least?
I think seeing somebody who, it wouldn't necessarily have to be a medical practitioner, but seeing somebody who perhaps has some training in nutrition or some training in botanical medicine, some sort of natural training. They tend to have more training in nutrition than general doctors. That's not to say that, you know, some general doctors don't know a lot about nutrition. They do, but for the most part, they might follow a plan that is, some doctors might recommend some foods that a nutritionist that done more study may not recommend. So I would say, you know, maybe go more towards the natural world, someone with qualifications to give you a bit of advice. I think, you know, the red flags, if somebody tells you to do anything extreme, if somebody tells you that, you know, you're going to get great results in 3 days or you're going to lose too much weight in a short amount of time, if they're going to tell you that they're going to detox you in 48 hours or something like that, that's not going to happen. Weight management happens over time. I tend to prefer with my clients to call the period a tune-up, where you'll tune up the body prior to going on the diet, making sure that the nervous system is good, that the digestive system is good. But, yeah, getting some help along the way, even if you go to a health food store or, a department store that may have, sell supplements, and asking to speak to someone qualified can put you on the right track.
For those listening, where can they find you at?
Yeah, I've got a website which is www.rickhay.co.uk. So it's rickhay.co.uk. And I've got a lot of good advice up there as well. I also do some work for a wonderful website called Healthista, which is like Fashionista, but Healthista, and it's healthista.com. That's where I tend to put a lot of my recent stuff, and I think your listeners would really like that one. It's very current. We've got lots of actually one lean energy program up there at the moment that's wonderful, with a free ebook if people want to download that, with some free videos and smoothies, etc. So that's where I hit.
Well, thank you so much, Rick, for joining me. I really appreciate you being here.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's masonverapaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.